Restaurant Unstoppable, episode 16.
Welcome to RestaurantUnstoppable.com. Listen to successful restaurant professionals as they discuss the tools, tactics, and services they use to better lead, manage, and market their restaurants. Join our community and make your restaurant dreams unstoppable. Here's your host, Eric Cacciatore.
Yo, what's going on, all you unstoppable restaurant professionals? It's your host, Eric Cacciatore. I can't believe it's already episode 16. It's crazy. I'm having such an incredible good time delivering this content to you, but I want to make sure I can deliver the best, most valuable content possible, both entertaining and filled with value. So over the next week, I'm going to get in touch with my past guests to find out what I can change, what they liked about the podcast, what they didn't like about the podcast. I'm also going to be fielding questions from you and advice from you, my listeners, because at the end of the day, I'm here for you. So I want this podcast to be both entertaining and value-packed. So keep that in mind. I think what I plan to do is get more stories out of you guys. We have such great stories to be told in this industry. And we really, I mean, that's why we do it at the end of the day, because of the interactions with the people, both our guests and our employees. And I hope to learn from these stories and gather those lifelong lessons through these stories. So it's just a matter of figuring out how I'm going to ask these questions. And I also want to wrap up every episode with the real knowledge bombs, the little pieces of advice, recommendations for services and products. It's really important that you guys, it's really important to me that you guys are sharing with each other completely objective reviews to help each other out, to get your return on investment, and to collaborate too. So over the next couple weeks, please be in touch with me. Let me know what you want and help mold the future of this podcast. I hope by episode 20, we are adopting the new podcast flow. So I have a great show for you today. I'll stop rambling on. Don't forget, find me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, just search for Restaurant Unstoppable, and check out the show notes at www.restaurantunstoppable.com for all the links to books and services and whatever else we talk about during these shows. Enjoy today's episode. Today's guest has been a part of the restaurant scene since he was a child working in his parents' cafe located in Johannesburg, South Africa. After graduating high school, he did a 2-year apprenticeship with his father before attending culinary school back in his native Belgium. When he completed his culinary education, he went back to work at as a pastry chef at the Montreal Hyatt Regency. Then he transitioned to the Four Seasons and took on the role of executive pastry chef. He continued to work in North America until economic sanctions imposed on South Africa proved detrimental to the family business, so he returned back home to help. 5 years later, he found himself back in North America working again at the Four Seasons, first in Houston, then in Chicago. Eventually, he received the invitation to teach at the New England Culinary Institute in Burlington, Vermont. After 4 years of teaching, he opened the Chef's Corner in Williston, Vermont. The Chef's Corner is an international-style cafe serving breakfast, lunch, and brunch 7 days a week. The Chef's Corner has endured over 18 years of success and now consists of 2 locations. With absolute excitement, please allow me to introduce to you today's guest, Chef Joseph Heroin. How you doing, Chef?
Good, good. How are you, Eric, today?
Terrific. And there's one cool story about your trip after you finished your apprenticeship. You drove your Land Rover from South Africa to Belgium. I thought that was pretty
Yeah, I mean, I'd done some apprenticeship years with my father. I finished high school and then I decided to take this up as a career. And I started cooking with my dad and then also doing pastry because he had a pretty big business. He was a chef, pastry chef, et cetera. And eventually, when I'd done approximately 2.5 years of apprenticeship with him, I decided to go back to my country of birth, which is Antwerp, Belgium, and go to culinary school there. But instead of just flying, I really liked the outdoors and the African nature, so I decided to do an overland trip to get to Belgium. And that was a 4.5-month trip through the whole African continent in Land Rovers, which was amazing. Best life experience.
That's, for lack of better expression, pretty badass.
Yeah, that's the American terminology. It's pretty badass. In Flemish we say das geen krot, which means that's no rubbish. It's really... Yeah. It was amazing. Not only beautiful seeing things in the nature, but it was amazing people's experience, because there was about 12 of us. We had 3 Land Rovers.
Oh, man, you have to have some great stories in that trip.
Yeah, that's another interview.
Okay. So I like to start off every episode to kind of get the motivation ball rolling with a success or leadership quote or mantra. So what do you have for us today?
Well, I think I have to go back to my father on this one. I think that my father's, let's say, phrase or proverb about the success, I guess in any business, but definitely in ours, because ours is a very demanding type of business, is that he always said you need 3 things to, and I say it now as well, of course, to take you on better, successful roads in the restaurant business. And there are, the number one is attitude. A good attitude. Number 2 is good energy, and number 3 is good effort. Mm-hmm. And so attitude, energy, and effort, and then that'll lead you to get hopefully a good education, which then eventually leads to success, because you need a good training education, which is culinary school, apprenticeship, etc., etc. So when I was an instructor at New England Culinary Institute for approximately 3.5 years, I always started off my new students by saying it's the AEE a method, which is attitude, energy, and effort, and it really helped a lot.
Attitude, energy and effort. I like that. Yeah. I've never heard that before. But
because without a good attitude, you can't really have good energy. Without good energy, you can't really have good effort.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in our business, you need a good attitude, because it is a very demanding business, whether you're in a restaurant or baking or pastry or catering, anything in our hotel business, you know.
Absolutely.
I pretty much covered all the areas over the years, part of apprenticeship, and training, etc. So that always helped me.
Exactly. And your guests, they can pick up on that attitude. So if you have a negative attitude, it's just going to create a negative ambiance, and that's the last thing you want.
Absolutely.
So
we have a zero tolerance at our place, Chef's Corner Cafe and Bakery in Willison 1. We have a zero tolerance for any flaws in any of those, any attitude, energy of it. And we have very amazing staff. We have an amazing front of house staff, which it's embedded in them to have that. And they usually come with it, because we interview, we won't hire them if they don't have it.
Yeah. AEE. I'll be using that one going forward. Thanks for sharing.
The AEE method.
You got it. All right. So the next question I have for you is, what is your it factor? Smells, taste, views, and sounds. What are the general experiences, vibes, and ambiance that set your restaurants apart from others?
I think the first thing that happens at a Chef's Corner Cafe is that as you walk in, you're being welcomed. I think the front of house staff, they're on stage the whole time. And we have very well-trained front house staff. We hire very well. We've had some bad eggs, but that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing is you come in, you're welcomed, you feel at home. And then from there, well, because we have a very big, large kitchen at the back, which does baking, pastry, and all the foods and the soups and everything, there's a lot of aromas floating around.
Yeah.
We use about 3 to 4 racks of bacon a week. And then when we cook the bacon, the aroma definitely goes around. So, I mean, when you walk in the restaurant, it's about being welcomed. It's about the freshness of the restaurant. We just repainted everything about a couple of years ago. We did a refreshing course on the whole inside. We went more pastel colors. Before that, was more Mediterranean. So that's a refreshing thing for the people to come into. And then also color and product. When you walk into our place, on the right side, you have an 8-foot pastry display. Then you have, next side, you have an 8-foot display where there's all deli salads. And then on the L part of that display, there's a big, beautiful wood case with all product in there. So having said that, these products, when we are full in all those cases and on top of the counters of some products, we have close to 180 different products out there.
Wow.
So people come in, they just start like dribbling like dogs.
I really, really love these artisan indie owners, because they do so much just from scratch, and all that effort, all those smells, the spices, the baking, and that all just goes into it. And,
absolutely.
It's just, it's authentic. Yeah. It's charming, and it really makes a big difference in the long
run. You know, we make our own quiche. We make everything from scratch. Puff pastry, Danish dough, croissant dough, all our pastas. No, the pastas we don't make them, but we buy them and then we boil them. But so there's a lot of aromas going around there, a lot of aromas. A lot of smiling faces. Part of our business is the employees in the front. In fact, you know what? It's funny you ask this question, because on Sunday we were extremely busy. Yeah. And when we're extremely busy, I'm out there clearing tables, because I'm more of a floater now, because I've been there. I don't bench so much as I used to. I don't cook as much as I used to. So I float a lot, and I clean, I wipe, I do this. And one of the ladies said to me, you know what, it's amazing, because our kitchen, you can see it. It's a big glass, clear, open kitchen. Everybody's smiling back there.
That's awesome.
And normally kitchens are pretty intense, and we have a very happy ambiance, because that's all about, again, the effort, energy, and attitude scenario.
Oh, that's great. You have to be happy at work. If you're not happy with this line of work, you're just
going to be... It shows in the product when you're
happy. Exactly. Great. So after we finished the episode today, Chef Joseph Herwin called me back immediately after, because he thought of something he wanted to add to his it factor. And I have to add it in, because it's just priceless advice and great information. So here it is. So what was it that you said when you called me back?
When I put the phone down, I spoke to Paul for now about everything, and it was mostly related around myself and the industry, was my family. My wife, I've been married 34 years, and without her backing, I would never be where I'm at, because she was always there for me, and she understood the long hours and the long days. I mean, when I opened my first hotel as executive pastry chef, I was at Edmonton Four Seasons. I worked for 7 months without a day off, a complete day off, and I had my firstborn. So she's very much part of my success, raising my boys and supporting me. And my sons, too, because when they got older, they were good kids. They were athletic. They got into trouble. They're two boys. But they respected and loved what I did, and they understood, and I couldn't be at their soccer game, which I try to make as many as I could. So I have to give definitely a lot of credit to my family.
And when you called me and you said that, I said, you know what, you need to put this on air, because that's so true. It's really so true.
Absolutely.
If you own a restaurant, it's your whole family owns a restaurant.
Yeah, if you own a restaurant and you're the chef owner, don't marry a banker that works Monday to Friday from 9 to 5.
Yeah, and
that won't work.
It is a huge factor. Finding your mate, you have to really stress.
You have to keep that in mind.
It's very, it has to be, everyone has to be on board. It has to be a team, not just the team within the restaurant, but your whole family has to be.
I mean, we work weekends, work nights, mornings and everything. So, it's very important. I mean, we have enough pressure and anxiety and things happening in our business. We don't want to have that problem at home either, because I couldn't deal with both of them.
So just make sure you find a strong partner that can handle it.
Exactly.
Independent partner. Somebody doesn't need you there all the time.
Okay.
So thank you.
Credit to my wonderful wife and my sons.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Cheers. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
The next question I have for you is about challenges. Share with us one current challenge, and how are you overcoming it?
Well, I mean, it's hard to give you one current challenge, because I can give you just a couple that they kind of all integrate with each other. The cost in general is very hard. In general, cost is hard. Produce, labor, mechanical costs, for example, machinery breaks down,
exactly.
Compressor breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
Our landlord is also we don't own, we lease space. That's a monthly rent, which we're doing very well, so we can pay our costs, but it's always, you always have to be on your game with everything. No wastage. The most expensive cost in most business is the labor. So we have to always watch our labor costs, which right now everything's in line.
Good.
But sometimes when it slows down in January, because we get a bunch of snowstorms and it just wipes the town out, one has to be a lot more diligent about what's going on.
So what advice do you have for a chef when it comes to managing costs, and how are you overcoming this challenge? Like, with your experience and your wisdom, what's the best piece of advice you can give?
The best piece of advice is, number one, is you've got to be on top of your game all the time, every day, and you have to... You, you, you can't be soft about any of this. You've got to be very, you've got to be a very tough, fair leader when it comes to, and you have to lead by example.
Mm-hmm.
I have no wastage. We try to use up, incorporate, even if we can't use it up, we might give it to the food shelf, the local food shelf, then we get credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just lead by example and be on top of your game.
Awesome. Thank
you. Buy right, and buy as well, you know, buy correctly, you know what I mean? If you can get apples from Mary for $10 a pound and you can get them from George for $8.50 a pound, that's $1.50 a pound you're saving if you use 100 pounds.
Yes.
So, yeah, not that we shop around a lot because our distributors are very, very loyal to us because we don't change around all the time. We've had the same distributors for 17 to 18 years.
Okay.
So they know they give us a very good cost break because we buy all the time from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a lot of everything. You just got to be on your game and you got to know what you're doing.
Sounds great. Thanks for all of that. The next question we have is about leadership. How important is leadership and how does this impact the overall service?
Well, leadership, I think the most important thing is lead by example,
mm-hmm.
and lead by knowledge. You can't expect your employees to do what you won't do. We have a small business compared to some of, for example, the big chefs' names in New York City where they have 8 restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're at a different level as far as their leadership, I think, comes more administrative and hiring the right people. We are still a family business, even though we have 35 employees of which serve a full-time. There's always leadership there, ownership in that room.
Yeah.
So, The employees know. I mean, I'm walking around the whole time. If I'm not doing some emailing or some billing or some accounting or ordering, I'm in that kitchen walking around the whole time, controlling, talking, praising them. So it's just leadership, lead by example.
Awesome.
And it definitely pays back the staff respect. If we have somebody who's slacking in the kitchen, as they say, it comes out very quickly because the staff, they don't want that. They want to have everybody do the same thing on the same page.
I want to share a quote with you, Chef. It's from a previous guest I had on the show. Her name is Brooke Burton, and I think it's episode six if you want to see it. But she says, I can't remember who she's quoting exactly, but it's lead by pouring water. And basically what that means is as the leader, don't do anything you wouldn't or don't expect out of your workers that you wouldn't do yourself. So
yeah,
go
this,
around
this,
and
yeah.
pour water.
This might sound a little bit weird, but kind of gross. But for example, you know, we have public toilets out front.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ladies and gents, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes they block up.
Yeah.
Guess who they come and talk to? They come and say to Joseph, "The toilet's blocked." I'm called the master plunger. So I go out there, and with my plunger wrapped in a bag, all professionally done, I take my apron off, I go out there, lock the door, sanitizing the whole lot, plunge, get rid of it, then spray down the seat, come out, and there I am, I have my gloves on. You know, and I, if I'm not there, then my business partner, but we don't ask the staff to do that.
You're truly a jack of all trades, man of many skills.
So I'm a master plunger at times.
Awesome. You know, but that's it. You have to be willing to do anything and to wear so many hats. So that's a great example. The next question I have for you is a success definition. How would you define success in the restaurant industry? What habits does your restaurant and do you have that contribute to this success?
Well, I mean, the success goes back again to your knowledge,
mm-hmm.
your background, your energy, your attitude, your effort. And then from there, you create a standard, and you have a good standard, which people come back to. We're a destination spot. Chef's Corner, you need to drive to it.
Mm-hmm.
So people come there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
They come there because there's good product, good ambiance, great service, friendly. So you have to create a standard that's going to be consistent. And that's success, if you can maintain that.
And what is it about you, Chef? What are your personal characteristics, your habits, your... Sorry, this is kind of off topic, but we're making good time. And I want to find out a little bit about the restaurateur, the executive chef, the owner. What qualities does one have to have to make it?
Boy, I tell you what, my qualities are not near perfect, but I have some qualities that are very strong, and I think my attitude is very always very happy, and I'm a very funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
I have a great sense of humor. Mm-hmm. My father always told me, don't go into this business if you don't have a sense of humor.
Exactly.
You got to see the funny side of things sometimes, and I lead by doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much into brigade, which means clean.
Yeah.
You know, apron, shaven. You know, we don't, unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know, some places do, we don't allow nose rings and all these rings in the face in the kitchen.
Yep.
You know, because we're not that type of place. Not that that type of place is anything wrong with it. It's just a formula that we have, and we stick to it.
Your people have to match the concept. That's absolutely
exactly right. Exactly.
And I think you answered it in the beginning, right off the bat, when you the quality about you. You said there's a lot of things that aren't right about me. And that's the first quality, is to know that.
Oh, yeah. I have a bit of a temper sometimes, a little too emotional sometimes. But what chef doesn't, you know what I mean? It's like... And sometimes when I lose my temper, no, in fact, not sometimes. Every time when I lose my temper, which is very seldom now, I feel really bad about it because then it's not good for my health anyway.
Yeah, but you know...
And I am actually a healthy person because I work out 4 times a week. I do cardio. I have a trainer. I mean, I really try to look after myself. I'm 62 years old now.
Oh, I believe every word of it.
Yeah.
I guess the point that I'm trying to make is it's the humbleness of knowing that you're not perfect. And that
yeah, absolutely.
To be successful, you always have to... You have to be aware that you're not perfect, and you have to strive to, you know, overcome...
I mean, I might have a 25-year-old employee who does something really weird.
Yeah.
And then I think to myself, Jesus, man, I did that. You know, and then I tell them, don't do that because it's not going to get you anywhere because I've done it. And they like to hear that.
Yeah, it's great. It's very being transparent and being honest. It goes
exactly.
A long way. So we're going to jump straight into what I like to call on the fly. This is a speed round where the questions are kind of a little more quicker. I might have to drop this section because they've been kind of drawn out answers, but if you have a lot to share, I don't want to hold you back, but it is designed to be a quicker...
Okay, so one answer. Okay, good. Let's go.
Let's do this. You're ready. Share with us one hiring tip or tool.
Look them in the eyes.
Awesome. And what does this do for you?
It's just, you can feel the vibe.
Great. I like it.
When you ask them questions, look in the eyes.
Great answer. The next question I have for you is, once you find these quality employees, what creative incentives do you provide to keep them as valuable team members?
We pay them fairly. They work in a great environment, and we let them express their creativity.
Great. And that ability to express their creativity in a... that gives them purpose. And
exactly.
Purpose is huge.
It makes it feel good.
Exactly. The next question I have for you is marketing tactics and tools. What has been working for you? Can you share any practice that has shown results?
With marketing?
Yes.
Advertise local, small local newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
We have a big blackboard, a nice blackboard in the restaurant that's very visual by the cash register where we announce any happenings.
Okay.
And we go on the radio every second week, local radio station, talk about what's going on at Chef's Corner.
Awesome. And the key words there are local and in-house.
Yeah, absolutely.
The best marketing you can do for your restaurant is right in your backyard or in
exactly, because we have a lot of local people. We have people who come every day, 7 days a week to Chef's Corner. They're retired people. They come and either have breakfast or lunch. Or we have people who come twice a week, 5 times a week. We have a huge local loyal following.
Yes, and I believe it was your good friend, Chef Robert...
Barrel from Café Provence.
Yes, he says you market your restaurant when you're inside your restaurant, when you're
exactly.
Face to face. That's your opportunity to shine. That's
when my customers see me clearing and wiping tables, they feel really good about themselves. They love it.
Right on.
They love to see me there.
You got it. So what is one restaurant or business book you'd recommend to our listeners?
Well, there's a couple books. There's food. One book. Only one?
You can do two. That's fine.
Well, I mean, boy, there's so many books out there. I mean, I know two books that were just bought out by a local author, Chef Molly Stevens. She did go on a couple of big shows, all about braising and all about roasting.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic books for chefs. There's one called The Epicurean. And then this Food Lover's Companion, a small little book used in the kitchen. I mean, besides that, when I go to Barnes & Noble and look at all the food books out,
yeah,
there's a lot of no good books out there. They're just making books just to try and make money.
I'll definitely have to check out those two other books. What was it about those two books that really stood out to you?
Well, Chef Molly Stevens, was also an instructor at the Union Culinary Institute. That's where I met her.
Yeah.
And then she also went on her own way, and she flies all over the country and does demos, and she's a very humble lady, and she's just a fantastic sense of humor, fantastic attitude and energy. And then she created these two books, and they're very comforting type of books, because roasting is a comforting thing to do, and braising is a comforting thing to do, especially in the winters of Vermont.
Yeah.
So we my wife and I use them a lot. Okay. So they're just very comforting, the real books that are real.
I'll have to check those out. I have not heard of those yet on the show, so thank you for sharing.
Absolutely.
The next question is, could you recommend any gadget, service, or tool that has improved your restaurant's productivity, efficiency, profitability, or communication?
Well, that's a long question.
It is. I can repeat it if you want me to.
Yeah, I got it. Gadgets, service, tools. I think that... I don't know if I'm answering the question right here, but I think that pricing of your product is a psychological thing, and the wording of the menu of the product, of the specials, is a psychological thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, is that a gadget? I don't know. Pricing, wording psychologically has a lot of effect on the customers.
I would argue that that's a tool. Your menu is one of your most valuable marketing tools. Again,
right.
All in-house, but that's your point of sale. Like that's, you have to be smart about how you price. There are certain ways you can price to maximize.
We might make a special, for example, on a Sunday. It might be an Eggs Benedict special, or it might be a type of crepe French toast special. And let me rephrase that. We might make a special on a Friday. And we worked, and it doesn't really sell well.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Saturday, we run the same special, and we change the wording completely, and it sells.
Exactly. So you have to really be thoughtful about how you're putting these things on your items. And then there's the whole price optimization, too, which is an art in itself that you can learn a lot about. Change prices, tweak them a little bit here, your bestsellers. But it's a very effective tool if done correctly. Yeah. So great answer.
I mean, any gadgets or service or tools, like if you look at productivity, efficiency, profitability, like you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
communication, all these, if you throw them in a nutshell, everything to accomplish that, you just need to be on your game. You need to address them all the time, every day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great. The next question is the last question before we wrap it up, and it is, what is the best restaurant or business advice you've ever received?
I received good advice from many people over my life and my career. My dad was one.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had an instructor and I'll just mention some of them and then tell you what they all kind of said. I had an instructor in Belgium who was actually he was a chocolatier, so it was a chocolate course I did in Antwerp. His name was Roger Geertz. I had a general manager, Mr. Philip Wood, Edmonton Four Seasons Hotel. My brother Anthony Harrow, he was an amazing perfectionist too. He was a pastry chef as well. And all these people... They all had the same philosophy as what I've been talking about, and they helped me.
Mm-hmm.
They helped me engrave this into my mind and into my way that I did things. And then, on the other hand, I had a chef that I worked for in Belgium in another place who was the most negative and arrogant and verbally abusing person I've ever worked for. However, I stuck it out for a year and a half there. When I told my father that, I actually called him up one day, and I said, I was actually crying on the phone. I said, I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's terrible. He's abusive. My dad said, you got to be like a cart. You know these horses that pull carts and they have these eye things on?
Yeah.
Like, he said, you look forward. You never look sideways.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you just move forward. He said, you'll get through this time with this impossible person. You take out of him what he's good at, not what he's bad at.
That's awesome advice.
And this guy was one of the best chefs in Belgium, but he was an arrogant animal.
You know, and sometimes you learn your best lessons.
Exactly.
From
I learned what not to do from him.
Exactly. That's exactly where I was going. You have I think, it was, again, this is a fresh conversation, because I was talking to your friend yesterday, Chef Barrel, and he was saying, I learned from one chef that I never wanted to be like that. And you learn those lessons, like, you know, you do, through watching others, you learn who yeah. you don't want to be. So that's great, yeah. great advice.
I mean, I have a lot of respect for a lot of chefs out there. I can mention a whole bunch of them. I have so much respect for the chefs that have been successful because I know how they work and I know how challenging it is. I have a lot of respect for it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So now we're going to wrap it up. You were outstanding.
Thank you.
All the advice you gave was definitely worth listening to and definitely worth applying in our lives. So thank you very much. Call somebody out. Who is one person in the industry who you believe would be a great addition to our community here at Restaurant Unstoppable?
Oh, somebody that you need to would like to talk to?
Yeah, what we're trying to do is we're trying to grow this community and get.
Oh, there. I would definitely use my suggest my business partner, Chef Scott Sorrell.
Okay.
Who's my senior partner? He's been with me now 8 years. He bought into the business 8 years ago, and he has an amazing background too. Iron Chef, Hawaii. He was a student of mine 22 years ago.
Okay.
And then he came back as a partner. So Chef Scott Sorrell, definitely.
Awesome. I just got off the phone with him before calling you, so
yep.
The ice has already been broken.
Yeah, and he has just the same attitude as me. He's all
great.
About positive.
I will reach out to him. I can't wait to have him on the show. And give yourself a plug. Where can we find your restaurants and services? Do you have any plans for the future? And where can we connect? This is a good opportunity for you to talk to maybe some future employers.
Well, our website is www.chefscorner.com. Vermont.com.
Mm-hmm.
We're open 7 days a week, and I'm always very willing to talk to anybody who wants to go into the business. And, you know, I love mentoring new people out there. I'm always available. I don't want to give my email right now on there because I'm not very good at handling hundreds of emails. So
no, <that's
laughs> if they want to get me, they can just give me a phone call, 802-878-5524.
All right, if you're a student listening to this podcast, the people I'm interviewing are the kind of people you want to work for because it's more than just
yeah.
a job. It's an opportunity to learn. So,
and I love students. I love good students. They just excite me. They're awesome.
You got it. So that's it. Thank you so much. You were great. And I can't wait to get this published to help make some restaurant dreams unstoppable.
So you'll keep me posted, okay?
Absolutely. You got it.
We'll talk again. Thanks, Eric. Good idea you got going. You got a good idea going. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah, such great, great advice from our guest today. And these are the kind of things I want to start unfolding on the show. I want to start connecting with our guests and getting those personal sides of what it takes to be successful in the industry, which is why I need your advice. I need your help. I need your recommendations because at the end of the day, we're all here at the end of the day, I'm here to learn, but most importantly, I'm here to provide the content for you guys. So you got to tell me what you want. And this is your opportunity to create the perfect restaurant professional podcast. So please connect with me, guys. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+. I'm out there. Find me. And don't forget www.restaurantunstoppable.com. I'm in the process of reworking the website outline. It's going to be much more podcast-friendly website theme that I hope you guys are able to use more effectively. And don't forget to look at the show notes for all links, products, services, books, topics that we talk about. They'll all be right there for you to dive in a little bit deeper if you so wish. Thank you so much, and until next time, peace!